Put around the wall to the right wing for Subban. He clears it back to center, and that's going to do it. Predators win this one 3-1.
That's how that cookie crumbles.
Wow.
They did it, Floyd. They won last night. How about that?
Won and convincingly. I mean, I thought it was a good win, so I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fun.
I'd be easy on the convincingly part.
I thought the first period, of course, both goalies played well, but they played well.
And both goalies are two of the best goalies in the sport.
And the second period, they kind of fell off a little bit, and then the third period, but Pekka did not fall off, thank goodness. And then the third period, they cranked it up and went for it.
So it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I just want to get that out of the way here on the show. I did want to, you know, to your point about Pekka, I was watching the game last night. I went to the game with my dad last night. And I was watching last night, and it felt to me like the effort was at a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. I mean, they played their butts off last night. You could tell they wanted to end this losing streak. You know, they were playing their rear ends off. You know, they were getting close, and they felt like everything for them early was a day late and a dollar short. And, you know, they make a great pass, but there was nobody there. Or they take a great shot, but it wasn't, you know, just it felt like it was that kind of game. But to your point about Pekka, I was watching the game last night, and I remembered something you said in October of last year. And that was after the Titans went to Buffalo and lost. And Nick Williams dropped the ball, and Taywan Taylor fumbled the ball, and Deion Lewis fumbled the ball. And you said if Tom Brady or Drew Brees was quarterbacking the Titans, they would have found a way to win that game. Even though, you know, it wasn't Marcus's fault that they lost, Tom Brady would have found a way to win. Even if they had dropped every pass, he would have done something and he would have found a way to win. And I watched the game last night. You're in a losing streak. And everybody's kind of struggling a little bit except for your first line. And even they understand the importance of not losing four in a row. And everybody's getting after it. And I felt like the goalie willed them to victory last night. I don't want to take anything away from the team because they played hard. And, you know, Hartman makes a nice play to Craig Smith, who puts the puck on the net. And then Hartman, with the effort, follows it up. And he scores, even though he kind of stinks. I was happy to see that. Boyle, the game-winning goal, the Boyle goal, do you know why I think he scored?
Why?
Because I think everybody on Montreal thought PK was going to shoot. Oh. I thought PK was going to shoot. Two guys are going with PK because everybody thinks PK is going to shoot. PK drops it off for Boyle. Arvidsson jumps right in front of the net. Goal, you win. So I don't want to take anything away from that, but it felt like last night that goalie was willing that team to victory. That was an A-plus performance from him. And that is, to your point, when you said, hey, if Marcus was Tom Brady or if Marcus was Drew Brees or if Marcus was one of these quarterbacks, he would have found a way to win them that game. And last night, because I think your goalie is in that class of player in terms of goalie, he found a way to win you that game last night. Because when they scored to make it 1-1, I thought all that hard work for nothing. He has carried you in this game, and then you just can't drop that game. And I felt like he did everything he could, and when it was 1-1, I was like, oh, no. You know, Montreal's going to win. They're not even going to get a point now unless Pekka carries him. But hats off to the goalie because he was so good last night, and they got a game they had to have, Floyd.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great win. I thought, you know, it was nice to see the Preds back. You know, some of the guys had some different faces scoring, which was nice. I mean, Arvi is and continues to be, I mean, I'm shake my head when I watch him play. You know,
anything away from Johansson because that goal, Johansson.
Oh, Johansson. That front line's playing fantastic hockey. But I thought even the other three lines yesterday played a little bit better. You know, you got a little bit of something out of them along the way. So, I mean, I felt better about all that. But, I mean, you're right. There's no doubt Pekka. Last night, Pekka could have put that team on his shoulders and taken them anywhere. You know, he was that way. And if he continues to do that during the playoffs, you know, then you got a chance to beat anybody any night.
Well, I don't think he can do that 16 times against the best teams in the league. You know, that's the that's kind of the, because it's one thing to do that against a decent, mediocre Claude Julien coached Montreal team. Because we know how Claude is. Get back, Gallagher. Get back. You know, that's how Claude likes to coach, and that's fine. But if you're playing Tampa Bay, now, I say that he can't do that four times against Tampa Bay, but he's already done it twice this year against Tampa Bay. But I know what you mean. I guess for me, the thing I like was the effort was there. You know, it was there from Turris. It was there from Hartman. It was there from Yarncroke. Now, Fiala's ice time is starting to get me a little concerned, because if Peter's only going to run Fiala, what was he out there, like 7 minutes last night or something crazy like that? He, clearly the least amount of time out of any skater. Arvidsson's on the ice for 20 minutes last night. Like, and if he's going to run Fiala out for as little as he's running him out there, that is a sign for
me. You know, you keep worrying because he's not – he's not a big man.
11-17 for Fiala.
Yeah, you would think that he, you know, you're concerned about him wearing out. You're concerned about
Arvidsson or Fiala?
Arvi.
Oh, okay.
You know, about injury. You're concerned about, but I'm going to tell you what, he just goes out there, you know, I think it's Crispy calls him the Energizer Bunny. That's what he is. He just goes out there and just plays as hard as he can every second he's out there and is very productive on top of it.
And he's got something special with Johansson. You know, this is like the sixth time in the last 2 weeks that Johansson makes some kind of play and sets Arvidsson up for a goal. And, hey,
that wasn't the prettiest of his goals. I mean, was not a great –
but
wasn't a real birdie.
But I say this as I don't want to – and I tweeted this out last night during the game. I don't want to take anything away from Arvidsson, but what Johansson is doing right now for him – is he is just setting him up to score. And that's how it should be for all of these lines, but especially that one.
You know, what's interesting, I was thinking about this. I mean, when Johansson first got here, you know, he's had to kind of work his way to where he is right now, for whatever reason. You know, I think we expected what we're getting now from him from day one, mm-hmm. you know, right off the bat. And it wasn't quite there. And I think they're... You know, there were times where we were saying, well, where's Johansson? What's he doing? What's going on here? But he just continues to get better and better and work. And that, I mean, he helps that whole group. There's no doubt about that. He's another star.
I mean, he's a legit high-end player. I mean, yeah, he's paid like a high-end player. He was drafted like a high-end player. He looks like a high-end player. I mean, he's a high-end player. I like the effort. The power play, man. The power play is every time they go on the power play, it's like everyone hangs their head. Like,
everybody goes, oh, geez. Let's get this 2 minutes over with.
And I think what Peter's not going to want to do this, but I think what he's got to do is last night I watched, especially when they were down in my end, because I sit behind one of the goals. And so I really watched the power play last night. And I was like, okay, what do I think the problem is here? And honestly, that first group, the four forwards and one defenseman, I don't like it because everybody's moving around. Everybody's flailing around too much. Like, they don't know to get back. They don't know to go in. They don't know. I would like to put two defensemen back on the first power play unit, like a normal power play unit, and probably tell – the question is, who do you tell to go off? Like, do you tell Boyle to go off? Do you tell Arvidsson to go off? Like, who do you tell to go off that first unit? But I don't like the four forwards and PK out there, because there's something, they're all discombobulated when they're out there together that I don't like. You know, that to me is, there's something wrong there. It's like they're not, they pass it and they don't know where the other guy's going to be, or they pass it and they don't know where to go, and the power play is a mess. But they did find a way to win last night, so I don't want to get too, and I liked how they played last night. Didn't love it, but I liked how they played last night, and it was good to get back in the win column, because now at Vegas, at Dallas. So those are some Western Conference playoff teams right there, and it's time to, as Pekka said on the players show earlier this week, hey, it's time to get going. And to give Pekka credit, he got going last night.
He got, you know, I think that last game, that last goal of the last game, He was trying to pay that back. It was like he was trying to pay that back. He felt so bad about that. And so, you know, how do you pay it back? Well, just go in and win this one. All right. I'm all for it.
I love it when they pay what they owe. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Speaking of paying what they owe, I thought Turris was good last night. You know, There were a couple times. The thing that kills me about Turris is he tries to make the perfect pass every time, or he tries to act like Johansson with Arvidsson and Forsberg. And I'm sitting there like, son, you're not playing with Arvidsson or Forsberg. Shoot the puck. And so there was a lot of that last night of guys that didn't shoot it. And that is driving me crazy is when a guy has a decent look and he don't want to shoot it. That's driving me crazy. But again, Pekka was fantastic last night and the Preds got back in the win column. A lot of guys played well. Again, Fiala, 11 minutes and 17 seconds of ice time.
A little scary. You have to be concerned if you're him.
I mean, if the coach is going to put you out there for 11 minutes and 17 seconds, the only person who skated less than him was Grimaldi, who had 9 minutes. Like, that is wow. Like, that is the coach losing faith in you if he's going to put you out there 2 more minutes than Grimaldi? Like, you were supposed to be a second-line guy, and you've got 11 minutes and 17 seconds worth of ice time?
Especially when somebody like Arvi has double that.
Arvidsson had 20 minutes of ice time. Now, I don't know how Arvidsson had 20 minutes of ice time, but he had 20 minutes of ice time last night. So that's how we're starting. Your thoughts on the Preds' win last night. And this is my question for the callers to start it off. Was it a good team win? Was it a needed win? Or was it a goalie won you the game win? And what's kind of the difference between those? We'll get into that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Game National Studios. Presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025. The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Forsberg. Cross ice he goes. Here's Josi. Inside the Montreal line. Skates over, drops it off. Subban, outside high, the shot, and the score by Brian Boyle.
Boyle will start to be more and more effective with each passing game, particularly in front of the net.
Yeah, I said that more than just in front of the net, but I said last game I thought you really felt his impact, and then tonight I thought he was one of our top dogs out there, so he played a terrific game. He was on the puck, in front of the net, shooting the puck, playing good defense. So he did a lot of things well tonight.
Brian Boyle, first goal as a Predator last night. I have a bone to pick, by the way, with the Nashville media.
Okay.
So last night they did the three stars of the game. Now, I've gotten really good at this, about hightailing it out of the stadium as soon as the game's over. So when I got in the car with my dad, it was when they were going over the three stars of the game. So I'm sitting there like, we're looking at each other like, hey, number one star, no doubt. Who else? And then they're like, the third star of the game with 43 saves, Pekka Rinne. And I'm like, what? Third star of the game? I'm like, who are the other two? And then Hartman? Now look, Hartman played hard last night and had a good goal. But Hartman was two, and then Brian Boyle was number one, and not taking anything away from him scoring his first goal and all of that. The first star of the game last night was number 35. The second star of the game was number 35, and the third star of the game was number 35. Would you agree with me?
Well, Pekka played great. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Montreal had 21 shots in the second period.
Oh, and no offense. I mean, that's the one period we kind of took off, except for Pekka. Pekka saves the bacon, you know, so.
21 shots in the period. I remember because early the Preds had like 11 shots and Montreal had one. And I'm like, okay, they came out to play today. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the second period, my dad's like nudging me like, hey, look at the scoreboard. I look up there and I'm like, oh, my God, Montreal has more shots than the Preds do, and they were down 11-1 at one point.
Right.
So that they had 21 shots, 21-11 in the second period they outshot you. And he wasn't the first star of the game? Oh, my goodness. But we all know deep down inside, he was the first star of the game last night, which leads me to this question. Do you take last night's game, do you consider that to be a good team win, or do you consider it to be one of those games where he pulls it out of his rear end for you and steals you the game?
Well, I'll say it's a good team win from this standpoint. I think the first period, we played well. I think the second period, the offense disappeared, and it was all Pekka.
So did the defense.
And then we came back the third period and played better than we did the first. So from that standpoint, I mean, I guess you'd have to say it's a good team win. If Pekka's not there in the second period, I mean, with 21 shots, I mean, you lose 4-1 or something.
Well, to me, my thing about the second period was you easily could have gone into the break of that period being down 3-1. Easily could have been down 3-1. And that's what kind of, you know, burns my rear end about that is, you know, there were still, even though I liked a lot of the things the Preds did, there were still a lot of things I didn't like. You know, like P.K. Subban at one point early in the game, no score in the first period, and P.K. Subban whiffs on a puck to get the puck out of the zone, and then now you're stuck in your own end because P.K. whiffs on it, and now Ryan Johansson gets called for holding the stick, and now you're on the penalty kill when all you had to do was just get the puck out. And that drove me nuts last night because I'm looking at that and I'm like, wow, you've outshot them to start the game 10-1 or whatever it was, and you're playing hard, but now PK swings and misses on a puck, and now you're on a penalty kill, and you can be down 1-0, and all your hard work could go right out the window. It's like the second period last night was the same thing as the first period the other night, only in reverse. You played hard in the first period, you outdid everything in Detroit, and you went into the locker room down 1-0. You got the benefit of that out of your goalie in the second period. I just look at it and think, they can't rely on him like that every night. He can't do that every night. I know he's the best goalie in the league. If not the best, he's in the top five every year. But he can't do that every night. And so then there's a part of me that's like, you know what? We shouldn't get too excited about finally getting off the schneid and getting a win when it feels like your goalie won you that game last night.
Right, but I mean, don't you think we expect that from our goalie anyway?
To give up one goal on 35 shots? Well, no, maybe
not to that extreme, but to go in and play well enough for you to win.
I mean, I expect a game like last night for them to give up 2 or 3 goals. You know, the goals against average for Pekka is what, like 2.5, 2.4, 2.5 or whatever?
2.5, yeah.
Yeah, so in a game like that where they get 35 shots, I expect them to put in 2 or 3.
Right. I mean, if they put in 2, you get 3. I mean, that's kind of where, you know, we are stat-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the thing, and I kind of, I mean, the truth is, I think we kind of expect that from our goalies every night, you know? Not I mean, nobody's going to score 6 on us, you know, for example. And so I think you go in there every game thinking, okay, you know, we'll light it up here for a while, and you know, pretty soon we'll score and we'll go back and forth, but it's never going to get out of hand because the goalie's not going to let it get out of hand.
I just don't feel like you can make a living off of games like last night.
Well, I mean, maybe not like that every night, but games like that, you know, games like where you go out and there are 35 shots or something and you give up a goal, you know. And you get 35 shots and you score 2 goals.
If that's the Winnipeg Jets, though, that get 21 shots in a period, you don't think they're going to score on 2 or 3 of those?
Oh, maybe.
You know, that's the, again, like if you look at high-end offensive talent, Montreal does not have a lot of that. So that's where, I mean, I want to say if you do that tomorrow night at Las Vegas, you're going to lose, except UC Soros had that exact same thing happen to him in the first period when they played at Vegas. 3 weeks ago, and Soros shut the door. And my guess is Soros is going to play tomorrow. So maybe that you can get away with it, but I don't. I mean, they have to play better as a team than they played last night. I'll take last night. I'm not crying about last night. I'm not worried about last night. I'll take last night, but I don't think you can make a living off of what you did last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we played 2 periods for me, which is a period improvement. You know, I don't know if it's unrealistic to expect anybody to play 3 periods. I mean, it just seems like it's impossible. It's so hard to get that done. So you say, okay, we've been playing 1 period. Last night we played two, so that's a 50% improvement. I'll take that.
Outshot Montreal 16-8 in the first period. I'll take 2-1 every time. Outshot them 11-6 in the third period. I'll take 2-1 again, which is essentially 11-6 is basically 2-1. Outshot 21-11. 21 shots. And he made a save last night that it wasn't exactly as difficult as the Brian Rust save in the Stanley Cup final, but it was a lot like it, where Pekka's on like the left side and all of a sudden the puck gets sent over to the right side and he has to like hop over and stop the shot. And he made a beautiful save last night. I just, again, don't think this team can make a living like that. I don't think they can play the way they played last night, tomorrow night, and expect to beat Las Vegas. I certainly don't think that they can play the way that they played last night in the playoffs and expect to win a playoff series. And the reason that I'm making a big deal about this, when I'm sure a lot of people like Jared, just let it go, they won the game, is, I mean, I'm glad, you know, I don't want to take away from their win. I don't want to be like, oh, you won, but I'm still not happy because you had a 3-game losing streak. But let's be sure that we're giving credit where the credit is due and being realistic about, you know, their win last night. It was an okay win. It wasn't a great win. Maybe you consider it a good win because of the circumstances that you haven't been winning, but I feel like that is so Miami Dolphins to do.
Well, I don't. I mean, I feel good about it for the two periods. I mean, the two periods that the team played were good periods.
Who cares? Game three of Winnipeg, period, you played two periods period and you lost because you got killed in game
the second period two. That Pekka played was a outstanding period. So, I mean, I look at that and think, okay, you know, that's dramatic improvement from where we were. So, that's why I look at it. I'm all for it. Now, would you like to get three periods? Sure you would. But do we ever see that?
But it's Montreal. Oh no! Like I think you play.
I don't see you get into this. You want to measure all these teams, and you don't understand. This is the NHL. This is a pro sport. Every team. We just lost to the worst team in the league. So I mean,
yeah.
So I mean, you know what? It doesn't matter who they are. If you can go out there and beat them. And play well and beat them, then that's mission accomplished. Let's go to the next one. You know, then, and you got to do it again against a better team.
Let's get your phone. 615-737-1025. Was last night's win a good win, or did Pekka steal you a game? And maybe we need to still be a little critical of how this team is playing. Ian, what do you think? Critical of it? Not critical? How did you feel?
I'm just glad that two of the three goals were scored by not the first line. So there's a little bit to that. At least there they got go. Some secondary scoring. Yeah. And Montreal's a playoff team. They're not terrible. So.
And Brian Boyle scored, which is, you know, when you trade for a guy, it's always nice to have him come in and win you a game like that. So that's always a nice little feeling. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Something Floyd keeps hinting at. I wonder if it is really burning inside of him. And then... one other little thing, but we're right to your phones, too. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN, 1025 The Game.
Mentioned the last two games previous to this, you liked what you saw and it didn't go your way. Was that more the case tonight, even though the second period was a little off?
I mean, for me, you almost got to look at it in periods. You know, the first and the third I thought were very good. The second I didn't like, so... you got to give Montreal a little bit of credit in the second period, but we got to take a little bit of responsibility for that as well. But again, after it's over and you're heading out to the third period and you've lost a few games in a row, you're looking for a response from your team. I thought the guys did that.
Have you noticed that, like in no other sport, do we ever sit there and say, well, you know, the third inning was pretty good, but the fourth inning wasn't very good. And the fifth inning, I thought, you know, we had some good at-bats. Or you ever heard Vrabel say, well, you know, I thought we played a good first quarter, but the second quarter really sunk us. And then we had a good third quarter. But with this team, it's like... everything is broken into periods, and it feels like every game there is one period that is just a stinker.
Struggle.
And I know it has to burn your rear end on it.
It does, only because, you know, you keep looking for that consistency. That just, this is the way we're going to play tonight. I mean, when I looked at Pekka in the first period or watched him, I'm thinking to myself, oh, we're going to be okay tonight.
You were out shooting him at one point, 11-1.
Yeah, he was, you know, special. And special against hard. I mean, there were some scoring chances that he just shut down. I'm not even sure how he did half of them, but which right there gives you the, you know, that tremendous encouragement, and you feel like, okay, we're going to be okay, because no matter what, they're just not going to score many goals.
Well, they scored that first goal to make it 1-1, and I thought, oh, no. All that work, all that hard work for nothing. 1-1, and then, you know, they didn't look the same, but then they end up winning 3-1. Right to your phones, as promised, on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Brenda is going to kick us off today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Brenda?
Hey, I did watch the game last night, and with the exception of a few things that Ellis did, I thought they played a whole lot better than they had been. And when they interviewed Pekka, he said it was a personal thing that he had to do for himself. He had to get better. I thought he was awesome. But I want you to know that Winnipeg didn't do so hot last night. Mm-hmm. I wonder what their problem is. Is it? I'm sorry. All right.
That's great.
Y'all have a great day.
You got it, Brenda. Now, see, great. Here's the thing that a game like last night does, is by you winning and the Jets losing, is that eliminates one of those in-hand games that we were counting up yesterday that just, I mean, like, this is why I think the Dallas game Tuesday night is such a big game for the Predators. Not so much because, hey, if you get Dallas in the playoffs, you want to beat Dallas again and win the season series 3-2 and have confidence going into a possible Dallas playoff series, because Dallas is the team you're most likely to play in the playoffs. It's to eliminate some of these in-hand games that these teams have. You know, these teams have, you know, these teams are sitting there, you know, what was it, St. Louis has played four less games than you, or at least
all
as
right.
of yesterday?
Yeah.
Like, holy smokes. So when you go up against Dallas, you need to beat Dallas, because Dallas has played three less games than you. So you need to win that game just to eliminate the fact that Dallas can pick up bonus points on you along the way. That's what a game, a day like yesterday where you win and Winnipeg loses, that's where I think you've got to kind of definitely make hay with the sun shining, because, again, it could get scary if these teams win those extra games that they have on you.
Oh yeah, if they match you when you win, or if they win and you lose and then still have those games, yeah, that could pile up pretty quick.
How does the league let one team have so many more games played?
I don't, and to me it's so interesting, because they're all teams that are around you. I mean, you would think okay, we'll look at the Eastern, and there'll be a couple teams that will have a lot more or a lot less games than you have. But generally speaking, teams that play each other, you know, with a fair amount of consistency, you think would have very, very close to equal number of games. But that obviously is not the case.
Well, I want to take a look at, like, what the current playoff picture says, because that's where it kind of tells you. For example, Nashville has 22 games remaining. Dallas has 25, Winnipeg 24, Vegas 23, San Jose 24, Minnesota 25, Calgary 25, St. Louis 26.
Preds are the only team in the league to have played 60 games.
How?
I don't know.
They've had their bye week. Like, how is that? The only thing I can think of is the league must have spaced out something because of the SEC basketball tournament. Like, the league must have put the schedule together, and when they put the schedule together, the SEC basketball tournament dates were there or something, and they couldn't move it around because of some other venue conflict, so they had to move something the Preds were going to play around then into, like, October or something. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that sounds like a possibility for sure, because there would be that certain amount of time they were going to be unable to play any home games.
I mean, Columbus, but it's not like they don't, you know, every year the Predators have a basketball event in that building. It's either the SEC Women's Tournament or the Men's Tournament or the first and second rounds. Yeah, they always have a basketball event there.
And I'm sure that, I mean, if you can't play at home, you can play on the road.
Oh, that's what they always do.
You know, you can't. You just got to play.
No, that's what they always do. That's why they always go out west in November during the CMA week, because they're always doing that. So I don't know what it is, but again, you know, that is definitely, I'm keeping my eye on that. The other thing, Kevin Fiala. 11 minutes and 17 seconds of ice time. Only Rocco Grimaldi, who had 9 and change, only Rocco Grimaldi played less last night than Kevin Fiala. I know everybody mentions him around the trade deadline as, you know, someone that's got to go and someone that they need to trade. And David Poile last week went on record and said he still believes in Fiala and thinks he's going to score 30 goals in this league and whatever have you. But if the coach is so down on you that he's giving you 11 minutes and 17 seconds of ice time in a game in which he's giving Victor Arvidsson 20-plus of ice time, there's got to be something there. There's something wrong there. There's something that's not right with Fiala and the ice time.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously in, you know, on the bad side of somebody that determines ice time, whoever that may be.
Well, you know who determines the ice time. It can't be, but it can't be that egregious, because if it was, he would bench him. You know, if Peter was that mad, because remember when he stayed on the bench for 10 seconds the other night in the third period, I told you on the air, I said, you got to bench somebody for doing something like that. And they didn't bench him. And so if they're not going to bench him, why are they playing him for 11 minutes and 17 seconds? It's not like it was, you know, the excuse he had for Cody McLeod the other day where it was, well, you know, we were behind, so we only played Cody for 3 minutes worth of ice time the entire game, which I kind of agree with his logic in doing that. But this, I don't know. And as you get closer to that trade deadline, if you're David Poile and somebody wants Fiala, don't you have to look at it like, man, my coach is not even wanting to play him right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The part that's bad is, I mean, this hurts the trade possibilities, you know? I mean, other teams are looking at this too. And they're saying, wait a minute now, what's going on there? And there are those coaches out there that say, hey, you just get him here. I'll coach him better than Peter can. Don't worry about that. Oh, okay, coach. You know,
well, there's no doubt in my mind that even if you were to trade him on any level, you'd be selling low.
Oh, yeah. Which is the sad part about it, you know. Of course, if he was, you know, in a position to sell high, he wouldn't want to sell at all. So you get caught in that trap all the time.
So there's a story out there that I want to get to. And by the way, I would keep a solid eye on Fiala's ice time. This is just me, over the weekend. Because, you know, I mean, we're still like 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. Really more like a week and a half. But if they go to Vegas and they go to Dallas and he doesn't play, then we'll have to discuss it. So there's a story that's out there that I thought was over. But to me, it's a story everybody needs to hear. And we'll get to that coming up next. Guess what came in the mail for me today? I got right here in front of me. My brand new Authentically American scrubs. That's right. Authentically American. I'm so happy that my high performance Authentically American scrubs came in. And if you're a doctor, you would be probably 15 times happier than I am today, because you actually have to wear your scrubs to work. That's right. High performance Authentically American, made in the USA, moisture wicking, antimicrobial, stain and wrinkle resistant scrubs. I got the pants right here. I got the shirt right here. I've already kind of put out the Instagram on my Instagram at the Jared Stillman, a picture of the scrubs. I have not put them on yet. I'm really excited to do that, but I will do that on my Instagram story at some point during the weekend. But the thing about that I love, and if you're a doctor or you're a nurse or you run a hospital or you run a clinic, that you're going to love is the fact that these babies are so comfortable. The material, as I'm opening them right now, it feels like workout clothes. That's how comfortable they are. I was at the mall, I saw a guy today wearing regular scrubs that were kind of, and I'm like, man, you should get the Authentically American, made in the USA, high performance scrubs. Again, if you're a doctor, a nurse, if you own a hospital or a clinic, these scrubs are perfect for you. And of course, because they're antimicrobial, that means they keep the germs away. That's Authentically American. You know Authentically American. Their website is so American. They're online at authenticallyamerican.us. That's right. AuthenticallyAmerican.us/scrubs. AuthenticallyAmerican.us/scrubs for the Authentically American antimicrobial, moisture wicking, stain and wrinkle resistant high performance scrubs. Oh, love them. Cannot wait to put them on this weekend. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Second goal coming here, Arch.
Well, Singletary's defense has done a nice job in the red zone.
splits it to take it in! Touchdown! The first in franchise history for the Birmingham Iron, and it's Richardson, the former Alabama great, taking it in for the touchdown, and Birmingham's up 15-0. First and goal.
48.
Richardson! Trent Richardson's got another touchdown for Birmingham.
So that was Trent Richardson punching it in twice. Trent Richardson, kicked out of the NFL because he wasn't good enough, is making a career for himself in the AAF.
He had a good game.
He had a good game. A
couple of touches, yeah.
Did you see who doesn't want any part of being in the AAF, apparently, unless the price is right?
Yeah, the price won't be right.
Colin Kaepernick. So today it came out that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have settled their collusion grievance with the NFL. Both players resolved the pending grievances with the league. There's a confidentiality agreement, so the league and Kaepernick and Reed won't say anything. Now, Reed just signed a contract extension, so I think his thing for collusion is probably out since he's playing in the NFL. How can you argue that the league owners are colluding against you
when
you're in the league?
Yeah.
And then Kaepernick, a story comes out last night that said that Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the AAF. Now, the salary for a player in the AAF is $75,000. And Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million. Well, now Darren Revell comes out today and says that's not true. Kaepernick wanted more than $20 million to play in the AAF. So this is a guy. And look, I have nothing wrong with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee for the flag because, quite frankly, this is going to probably anger people on both sides. I stopped caring about that a long time ago. Maybe like a week after it happened, I stopped caring about it. That was like 3 years ago. But my point here is, Colin Kaepernick, people think the NFL is keeping him out and they are blackballing him from the league and they don't want him in and they hate him. The AAF said, we want you to play. Oh, no, no, no. I want to play for $20 million. I don't even know if the AAF has $20 million. So,
I think
Floyd,
I heard
what
something
do you
today,
think?
I heard something today that that would be like one quarter of their total payroll for the whole league. So.
And that's what he wants.
Yeah.
So this is my thing. If you want something bad enough, you'll find a way to go about it. Colin Kaepernick, who they say, hey, Colin still wants to play football. Colin Kaepernick wants $20 million to play in the AAF. Meanwhile, Michael Jordan and Tim Tebow will ride the bus in minor league baseball when they want their opportunity. So I don't know what your reaction is to this, but to me, I'm over the whole Kaepernick thing. Like, he doesn't want to play football anymore. Let's just call it what it is. He doesn't want to play football. He wants to do ads, and he wants to be in commercials, and he wants to be part of a movement, and that's great. I'm fine. Go knock. Yes, go do it. But stop acting like Colin Kaepernick wants to play football when he tells, I think it was he told Polian or he told Charlie Ebersol, I want $20 million to play in the AAF. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, he can't. He doesn't understand the league. I mean, he doesn't. The football aspect of this whole thing has been blown, you know, way out of proportion.
With Kaepernick?
He's, you know, the truth is he had a limited skill set. He had to find a team that had an offense that they, you know, would fit him. Well, there's no offense out there that fits him. Had to find a team that knew him, you know, maybe have somebody on the staff that has known him or worked with him or anything. And, of course, he's only been in San Francisco, so nobody, and all those guys are out of the league, so nobody really knows him.
He can play at Baltimore with Greg Roman.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean,
his offensive coordinator in San Francisco.
I think he's just been, you know, there are too many. When you look to replace a quarterback, you look for so many different things, and the things you're looking for, he can't give you. And that's kind of the bottom line.
So my take on it is this. Blaine Gabbert is making, what, $2 million as the backup quarterback of the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah.
Okay, so Blaine Gabbert makes $2 million. Mariota is going to make 20.9, and I don't even like the idea of giving Mariota 20.9, but he was the number two pick in the draft, and that's the going rate, and that's the rules. Kaepernick wants $20 million from the AAF, and he was benched twice for Blaine Gabbert. So Blaine Gabbert makes two as a backup, and Kaepernick wants $20 million. Or, according to Darren Revelle, Kaepernick wants more than $20 million. Can we stop pretending like this guy wants to play football? Can we stop pretending like Kaepernick is working his butt off every day to go back out there, to go be the third string quarterback, to then, hey, if somebody gets hurt, to all of a sudden be the backup and then maybe get an opportunity in a couple of preseason games? Can we stop pretending that that's what he wants to do? Because if you're going to tell Bill Polian you want $20 million, then you're not about football. You're about money. And I'm fine with that. But not when you've got the half the country yelling and screaming about how the league is keeping you out of it.
Well, it's a combination of the stuff I was just saying. You know, he and the tough part for him is a second round draft choice, and then he signs that big contract, and after he signs the contract, well, he doesn't or hasn't realized that okay, if you don't continue playing at that real real high level, well, your next contract's going to be considerably less. And because it's the same thing that Gabbert went through. Gabbert was a, you know, much higher draft pick than he was. Mm-hmm. And when it, you know, you start off, he made millions upon millions. And then all of a sudden, and now I'm on my third contract and I'm making $2 million. And that's what Kaepernick should have said. Okay, you know what? I want to play. Okay, all we can pay you is $1.5 million, $2 million. Okay, all right, let's go. And then go from there.
So one of the things I love about the AAF is every guy in the AAF would be willing to play in the Hall of Fame game. You think Colin Kaepernick's willing to play in the Hall of Fame game? And what I mean by willing to play in the Hall of Fame game, be a third string guy who is just getting the extra reps in a game that is only for TV. No real player ever plays in the Hall of Fame game. The last time I can think of a real player playing in the Hall of Fame game, David Carr made his, you know, kind of debut when the Texans kicked off as a franchise in 2002, and David Carr played like a quarter. So that's the last time I can think of a real player playing in the Hall of Fame game. So the guys that play in the Hall of Fame game are all long shots. Blaine Gabbert played in the Hall of Fame game 2 years ago with the Arizona Cardinals when he was the third string quarterback. Would Colin Kaepernick play in the Hall of Fame game for, you know, a training camp contract? And the answer is no. Not if you're telling Bill Polian that I'll only play in your league for $20 million. So I just, the problem is the people who think that Kaepernick is being kept out of the league because of non-football reasons, those people aren't going to change their tone when they hear the story. And I think what you brought up during the break was probably true. Don't you think that with Kaepernick, the reason that the grievance got settled was because this week Eric Reed signed his contract extension and this story came out about Kaepernick wanting $20 million? So the league can now say in their grievance hearing, well, you can't have a grievance because you're on a team and you just signed a contract, so nobody's colluding against you, and you can't have a grievance because you want $20 million to play in the AAF.
Certainly wouldn't help your position.
So, I mean, so here's $5,000 each. Sign the non-disclosure agreement and go away. Because the Kaepernick thing with the league that kills me is it's become such a volatile discussion or such a volatile topic or angry topic or whatever you want to call it, when it just amounts to why most of the people that aren't in the league aren't in the league, just like Trent Richardson. It's because they're not good enough. And it just drives me crazy that we won't ever admit this on that.
Well, it's exactly the same thing. And the hard part that the team or the lawyers wanted to make it sound like, well, they're not signing him because he doesn't fit anything you're doing.
And he wants $20 million.
Yeah, and you know, you've got to, even if he fit whatever it is you're doing, then you've got to come in and now negotiate a contract. And you've got to do all that. You've got to decide, do you want to put up with the circus? Do you want to on and on and on and on? So, I mean, it was a tough position.
It just drives me crazy. Yeah. Just drives me crazy because people will make this out about what it doesn't need to be about. It's like the Mike Silver guy or whatever that got all mad at you last year. Like, I mean, you got no problem with Kaepernick. You don't care one way or another, but you don't think he can play quarterback in the NFL anymore, and especially not for $20 million, but that makes you the bad guy, not the fact that, you know, he's just not good enough. Coming up next, the AAF continues this weekend. How much is Floyd going to watch? Is he going to keep watching? And do we think people will keep watching into the weekend? It outdid the NBA. As everybody knows, the AAF outdid the NBA on Sunday. Do you think the AAF will continue, or do you think it'll go down a little bit? We'll discuss. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.